We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Experience, presented by DraftKings. 2022 NFL Awards, future bets, predictions, preview. We got it for you. So go to DraftKingsSportsbook.com to follow along with the odds that we are talking about. Smash the like button to the episode, sub to Mayo Media Network, obviously, and then tell me your favorite future award bet down in the description. Maybe it's an MVP, maybe it's a coach of the year, maybe it's a defensive rookie of the year. Who knows? If you want the entire draft kit, hit the description. You want the link to the week one PME DraftKings Listeners League rake free? Get into it before it fills, which is going to be pretty quick. I would go do that right now. The link is down there as well. If you want full player projections, you can go to runthesims.com. That is completely free. It's going to cost you to get your hands on the betting and daily fantasy tools. But if you go to runthesims.com/mayo, you'll get yourself 10% off. So do that. Okay, that sounds good. Newsletter is down there as well, sub for free. Jeff Feinberg on the line with me. We're talking NFL again. I feel like we're making this a weekly habit now for the next 5 months.
Looking forward to it. It is here. We're at the midway point of August, and it feels like nothing else really matters in the sports landscape.
It's true, considering we do a golf show every single week, and even we're looking at NFL odds during golf now, because golf is coming to an end. But what is not coming to an end, just coming to a beginning, fresh off his appearance on the release of the top 150 fantasy football rankings, down in the description, if you want to draft your fantasy team, it is Tim Undergust.
Tim Undergust.
That is not my name. But I will say, you're talking about the PME Listeners League. I don't know. Like, looking at who just won the golf league, I'm not so sure how on the level these things. It's like when Mr. Burns won that Astro Wagon giveaway. I don't know these days.
So you're saying that the PME Open is rigged. Those are your words?
I didn't say that. I'm just saying I asked the people to look who's raking in all the bucks these days in the PME Listeners League. And just ask yourself, you know, what's going on?
Well, we've had the Listeners League now, I believe, since 2000 and either 16 or I think it was 2016. Because I wasn't even with DraftKings, and like I've since become a contractor with them. But even before that, they gave me the Listeners League. So it's rake-free. Everyone can play in it. It's the first time I've ever won during golf season over the past 6 years. I've come second twice in football, but yeah. Hey, listen, if it wants to be rigged and they don't tell me and I win the money, I'll take it every time. I'm not going to lie to you.
We should set up a system where people give you money. But that should be the whole system, just giving you money.
Well, I feel like I've got myself back to even in that contest over the past 6 years by finally winning it. So I've done my donations. Now I'm back to level.
I'm very happy for you.
Thank you.
I'm very disappointed in the outcome because I really wanted my DC brother in crime, Seb Straka, to win. But I'm happy that things worked out for you.
When is this even coming out? Like, that's going to be so boring, like old news.
Yeah, that's because if there's one thing people hate on this show is when we just vamp about stuff. They only want the content.
The people have told me that. Like, people, I mean, I so rarely read the comments, but someone did comment on the 150 show. It's like, oh no, Tim's on this show. And then, like, the next, like, 20 responses to her, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, this is great, Tim's on the show.
Yeah, if you're here for concrete and stat-based analysis, thank you for your download. You're going to be disappointed.
But
no, I just mean it's so fitting for you and your personality that you would have been cheering for Seth versus everybody yesterday.
Well, just I felt bad because the last time I was cheering for him, as you remember, he hit that ball out of bounds in the tournament that Spieth won, and he lost it there when he had a chance to win. And I haven't really seen him since then. So it's been a sort of a bad run.
No one has. Trust me.
Okay. Well, let's talk about NFL future bets for the season. We'll start at DraftKings Sportsbook with MVP odds. Looking through it right now, the favorites are Josh Allen is 7-1. Tom Brady's 8-1. Mahomes 9-1. Herbert and Aaron Rodgers, the two-time defending champ of the MVP award, are 10-1. Joe Burrow's 12. Russell Wilson's 14. Stafford's 15. Dak is 16. Then you have Hurts, Lamar, Kyler Murray, all at 20-1. And then it kind of drops off a cliff. There's a couple guys who are frankly weirdly priced. Like, in what scenario would have to happen, Tim, that Matt Ryan wins MVP at 35-1?
Indianapolis has a shocking season and a very soft division. Goes 15-2, and he throws for like 4,900 yards, and the Colts are the number one seed. And in that sense, they feel like they have to give someone on the Colts the MVP, and they don't want to give it to a running back, so Matt Ryan wins it.
Jeff, would you say that scenario happens one every 35 times?
No, I'm not really there, although I'm incredibly high on the Colts, think that they will win the division, and they'll represent themselves more than adequately, but I don't think it's going to be like featuring some stat lines. It's going to get Ryan an MVP sniff.
Yeah, and a lot of the times, too, you see they want to give the MVP to someone who just really leads a team that was suspected to be like somewhat mediocre to be very great. Or like last year with the Packers, like the Packers I did think overachieved, and Rodgers just had these stats and then no one else really had them. So you had to give it to him again. And even though we thought like halfway through the season after his like conflict with the media that the media would never vote for him, didn't turn out to be the case. With Ryan, like, the Colts are expected to be good, that unless he has one of these crazy outlier stat seasons, which just seems, I don't want to say impossible this year, but 35-1, like that should be like 200-1.
Maybe not 200-1, but maybe 100-1.
Maybe.
But then you say there's like a 1% chance of it happening. I think that's probably where it should be priced.
I'll be honest. There's only like outside of 40-1, or sorry, outside of 20-1. And I just could be like biased in my thinking. There's really only one quarterback between a player, but it happens to be a quarterback north of 20-1 that I would consider betting MVP on.
Can I take a guess at who it is?
Sure.
Trey Lance, 40-1.
No, but I guess I missed that wagon. I'm not here for that. That would be remarkable.
He fits the hold on. He fits the profile of a player that if he is like, I guess Fields would technically be the same way, but I've already bet on the Bears to be the worst team in football, so I don't think that necessarily correlates with the bets that I'm looking for. Like, San Francisco should be good, and Lance could theoretically post video game numbers in this offense where he could have a season very akin to what Lamar had a few years ago when he won MVP. And it means more to, even if Mahomes or Allen or whoever, even Herbert at this point, has better numbers overall between the rushing, touchdowns, and then the passing, if they have a really good record, I could see that making a like narrative sense. And this is, I mean, it's a statistical award, but it's also a narrative award at the same time. Like, that does factor into it.
Yeah, absolutely a narrative award. You cannot debate that part of it. With Trey Lance, I mean, I would say that guy is probably dropped a lot. I imagine when these markets drop, like, there's a lot of people in our orbit that I'm sure might have MVP tickets that are like 60, maybe even double the 40s at like 80. But I don't, like, at least with Lamar played so much the year before that it set up. I'm not saying you have to learn. I mean, look at how good some quarterbacks come in. Like, there's no such thing as learning experiences. I'm just not expecting him to take the league by the horns next year or this year, Trey Lance. I'm expecting him to be really good. I'm expecting the 49ers to be far more explosive and a bit less efficient than they were in the old construct. But I'm not here for MVP. My guy would actually be double Trey Lance's odds at DraftKings, Pat.
I looked at him as well. But Tim, just let me run this by you for a second. Mahomes wins year two. Lamar wins year two. And if we just compare it to the Matt Ryan, maybe it's just I think these Matt Ryan odds are just silly. But in a
so
world...
So Zach wins this year?
I mean, maybe Sack could win, but like Lance is the second year quarterback in this range too. And just his ability to put up unique numbers and San Francisco to potentially go, let's say the Colts go 14-3 and San Francisco goes 14-3. I think it's more likely that if they have to give an MVP to one of those two teams, that Lance's numbers will just look better than Matt Ryan's numbers and they would give it to him instead.
Wouldn't dispute a word of that.
Okay. So Trevor Lawrence is your pick, Jeff?
No, although that is enticing, and I know you in the previous show we did, or the QB show, you spoke about how you actually see tremendous value in the Jags futures. I'm crazy. I'll just say it. I've kind of always thought that the Jameis Winston ceiling.
I mean, he won the award for most crazy, and like still won't accept that. So.
I'm not making the bet, but I'm saying. North of 20-1. Yeah, I guess Jameis, Trevor Lawrence, that'd be the only place I would look, but I don't even think I feel like it's a waste of money, honestly, to bet any quarterback north of Lamar Jackson or bet anyone north of Lamar Jackson who's 20-1.
I could see it. I think the case for Lawrence makes way more sense than Jameis, Fields, Trubisky, Baker, all around the same number as quarterbacks. Like, I'm not taking a non-quarterback. Paul has a question from behind the camera. Paul, what is your question, sir?
Does Tim not accept the results of last year's Custy Awards?
Well, it depends which result.
Oh,
the raw vote total or the massaged vote total?
You mean the real vote total or the one that had your... So there was the real vote total or the one where that all your bots voted in?
Well, again, what's real, what's not real? The raw votes, the not raw votes. I mean, I that's why I said last year was probably inconclusive or slightly lean towards Jeff. But anyway.
Thank God Zach Wilson didn't die last week because this would be every week in football season. The Jets would lose by 40. You would pretty much deem every moment of Jets football inconclusive.
If you don't think I was preparing excuses on Friday evening or Saturday evening, you're mistaken. All I was thinking about was ways to say, well, you know, Zach wins this.
You have the Chris Jericho list. You have the Chris Jericho list of excuses out already.
And I would have had no shame in using them. Now, we still things are still up in the air as to when he comes back. I don't want them to rush. I'm predicting week three that we see Zach play. In the first 2 weeks, we have whomever. I hope Mike White, but who knows? But, yeah, things are on the up and up. I'm feeling good about that. I kind of agreed with the point that was being made there, except I think you could take any starting quarterback you wanted and make a case where, well, if he plays really well, he could win the MVP.
No.
We have years where quarterbacks who are veterans who have always been good. Like, for example, let's say Kirk Cousins does this year what Matt Ryan did in 2016. Kirk Cousins can win the MVP. Kirk Cousins is sitting there at what in terms 50. Of his odds?
50-1.
Boom. Do I think it's going to happen? No. Do I think there's a 2% chance? Man, probably right about there. Maybe that's slightly high, but someone like Kirk Cousins at 50-1, if he has a Matt Ryan 2016 year, if he has a Rich Gannon 2002 year, can win the MVP. So you can talk yourself into just about any quarterback who's going to start you want.
Now,
for an MVP.
See, I don't think so. I agree with your point on Cousins. I think he is someone who actually does fit that mold. It would take some sort of weird outlier touchdown season for him if Kirk Cousins threw 42 touchdowns this year and just had his normal numbers, and the Vikings beat the Packers in the division, because you have to factor that into it too, that it's not baseball. Guys aren't winning MVP on losing teams just because they had the best statistical year. So the Vikings would have to probably win the division, be a top three seed in the NFC. All things that I think are plausible in the range of outcomes that happens. That's my worry about Jameis Winston, is that in this offense, I expect it to be more run heavy, defense focused. And could they win the South? Sure. but they're probably not going to win the South. That's why Lawrence makes some sense to me, because if you told me that the Titans and Colts were just kind of and not great, and Jacksonville could sneak out that division at like 9-8, I think that's on the team.
I can't have that.
I understand you can't.
I'll have to get involved before I allow that to happen.
Well, you already picked Tennessee to win the Super Bowl, so where's Ryan Tannehill on your list?
You're going to have to bleep that out. People don't know that yet. Bleep that out.
It was already in the last show that we did.
It was bleeped out.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't bleeped out in the video.
In the clip, it was bleeped out, you bum, so people went to the video.
Do you think I watched the whole video?
You probably watched none of the video.
I saw the clip. Why would I watch the video? I was in the video. I know what was said.
You don't even know what Pat and Paul did.
Why would I watch it? How do you know? So you watched the video. So you watched the video after your report.
When they ran the clip. They clipped it and they beeped it, and then in the Twitter post, Pat clearly said to find out essentially what's behind the beep, go watch the video, hook the show, the view, the like, etc.
I have no memory of that.
You know, when you talk about good SEO, that's not really SEO, but that is a tease to get people to click on things.
Same thing.
I don't think 9-8 would be good enough for Trevor Lawrence. It would have to be one of those insane, like, we've seen it before in football. Tim always talks about it when he tells you why the Jets might be amazing one year, is that every year a team goes from true dumpster win to like 12-13. That's what would have to happen in Jacksonville. At 9 wins, it's more likely Peterson could steal coach of the year, and we're like just so happy for the Jags, and like we acknowledge the turnaround. But an MVP vote, I think, is pretty crazy. Lamar Jackson, Pat, you could tell me I'm wrong. In my opinion, he's truly the only MVP in the modern era who didn't, at least like in some way statistically, earn the MVP almost in the year before that they actually won it. Like, you have to do something where the voters now think you're worthy and you can be part of the discussion before they allow you to be in their final debate to give the award. What Lamar did a couple years ago was so, I mean, I guess based off the expectation, it was transformational in many respects, and there was no one to even sniff it. So he totally blew that thought away. But most of the times you earn it before you actually win it. And that's why, like, Josh Allen, I think, has been put the favorite at essentially every book, because people feel he's already did exactly that.
Well, is anyone considering a non-quarterback for their pick of this award? Considering a running back hasn't won since 2012 with Adrian Peterson. And then before that, Jeff, it was your guy in 2006, LT.
Yeah, didn't like LT or Sean Alexander have a little window where they were kind of getting this award? But
yeah, Sean Alexander won it in 2005.
It was back-to-back years. Yeah. So, Alexander, then Tomlinson. Yeah,
no.
And Falk had won it recently before that, too. So there was a stretch there where running backs could win the MVP.
Yeah, but like the philosophical thought of football was so
different. What did it take from Peterson? He had to have 2,000 plus yards.
And every year you had running backs going in the top five of draft. Like, it was just such a mentally thought of so different. No,
not going to happen. Listen, Cooper Kupp had the best receiving year by statistics last year of all time and he came second in voting, I think.
So I would argue that it's probably more likely to see a receiver take it the way we're going, almost in the same way receiver has completely, when we'll get to it, but receiver has completely leapfrogged. It feels like almost running back in people's opinions for the offensive player award.
Sure.
Offensive player of the year is for receivers and running backs. MVP is just strictly quarterbacks. I can't fathom a situation otherwise, to be honest.
Yeah,
not me either. Or same with, like, if a defensive guy had 25 sacks or something, that's about the only way a non-quarterback's going to win.
So it would take the biggest outlier year ever, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Basically.
The only other guy below the, like, Lamar Jackson threshold of 20-1 that we were talking about, Jeff, is if Tua plays well, media likes Tua.
If there could be a most improved award, I would love to bet on.
There is most improved. There's comeback player of the year. He came back from everyone trying to trade him away.
Most improved. like he's playing, you know, Timbits hockey. Who's the most improved player this year?
Hey, there's a
most dedicated Tua. Okay,
there's a most improved in the NBA.
That's fine. This is the NFL. Tua was most improved. Oh, I'm so proud of him. Most improved. Yeah, they gave him every receiver known to humanity. He better be improved.
So, who are you going to go for your pick? I assume you're taking Herbert at 10-1, Jeff.
Yeah, I bet Herbert at 10-1. It wasn't small. It's our time. You'll win the if you win that ultra competitive division. You hope the division isn't such a beat up scenario where the wins are held against, and you'll have like a Josh Allen have like 13 or 14-3 season. But my pick is Herbert. I think for narrative, I think there's a lot of people who would happily click for the handsome boy who plays for a team in Los Angeles.
David Bearman was on the show a few weeks ago when he was making the case for Derek Carr 28-1. I feel like you would be on board with that. I certainly was not on board with that. I feel like for MVP odds, you're better off betting Deshaun Watson if you just want to make a bet that's not going to win.
That's fair. I mean, I don't think Carr is a terrible bet because he just has, you know, you could argue he just received the best receiver in the NFL. I think Kupp is better, but many people will tell you that Adams is the most talented wide receiver in the NFL. Plus, he already has a lot of talent. So if you wanted to make that case for Derek Carr, I don't think it's foolish. It's not the pick I'm making. I'm taking Tom Brady. I think Brady wins this. I think in a farewell year, he's got all his weapons. He's going to be healthy. He's going to be good. He had statistically an outrageously good year last year. I see no reason to think it won't continue. In a year where I think there'll be lots of choices, I like Tom Brady.
He's not even where he wants to be.
Yeah, I really like Brady this year a lot. And in the NFC, which is so soft, there are so many W's out there in the NFC. If you're an NFC team, he could just rack up ridiculously high numbers. I anticipate him to.
I'm shocked you didn't take Lamar.
I mean, I was thinking about Lamar. At 20-1.
At 20-1 used to be my non-Herbert pick.
There's three guys at 20-1, Hurts, Murray, and Lamar Jackson, and they would kind of have to piece together an MVP award in terms of statistics in very much the same way. And I just don't see it from Kyler Murray at all because I just don't think that he's going to run all that much. And he's going to be missing Hopkins for, what, 6 games, 8 games, whatever it is. And, like, his splits just show he's so much better when Hopkins is healthy. So if he's not out there, yeah, they got Hollywood Brown. I'm not really sweating him. Lamar... It'll be especially, I mean, I guess if he doesn't get his contract by week one, then he's not going to play, but he's like a true, it's weird for a guy that won MVP 3 years ago, that he's almost an underdog for this at this point, that if he just puts up good numbers again, the Ravens win the division, which they should be favored to win that division. I think that they're better than the Bengals at this point with a healthy Lamar. They're probably 1A and 1B, but I just feel like Lamar can put up a gaudy season, and people want to rally behind Lamar like he's being disrespected by not getting this contract. That this would be like, oh, yeah.
He is.
Yeah, like, you won't give him a contract. He's now won the MVP twice, by the way.
Yeah, well, I'm rooting for it. That'd be great. It would further cement how right some of us were in our analysis of him. I'm hoping for it.
I wouldn't even think – I mean, people would for sure rally around him, and part of me thinks it's not even so much Baltimore won't give him the contract in that – I don't know. He's being so weird about it, and he just wants to bet on himself. And the media would be like, holy shit, man, you bet on yourself and you were like the best quarterback in the league. We got to make that narrative. Like, guy bets on himself, because there's no doubt that the Ravens, in my opinion, have offered him the contract that is the 230, 250 guaranteed. Like, I don't doubt that that contract's been on the table. Not exactly sure what he's holding on for, but he has every right to do it. But the media would adore the bet on yourself, be the best quarterback in the league. People doubt him. The receivers aren't incredible there. Yeah, that would be my pick if I have to make a non-Herbie.
And to Tim's point about the NFC, I think that makes both Dak and Hurts. Because if Hurts can put up that Lamar season from 2019 and the Eagles just are better than the Cowboys, that could be good enough. But I'd want more on it. Dak, I could see. My pick is actually going to be Russell Wilson at 14-1. being that this is a pure narrative award, he gets the glory of going, like, if Denver's, let's say Denver wins the division, and that's, you know, an outlier as of right now, but he goes over and takes over a team that was bad, I mean, relatively bad, and improves their offense right away. Maybe it's more, maybe to Jeff's point, it's probably more likely that Hackett wins Coach of the Year than Russell Wilson wins the MVP award. But if they're good and it's Russell Wilson, you don't think people are going to be lining up to vote for a guy who's never received an MVP vote in his life? Like, he would just make such a good story if Denver's good.
Sure. I think that's all perfectly reasonable.
So that's my, I'm going with, so what did we have here? We had Pat, Jeff, Tim. I got Wilson. Jeff, you got Herbert. And you have Brady, Tim?
Yes.
Okay. Herbert. Let's move on to...
I can't believe you're going to curse Brady.
He needs it. He needs something to slow the guy down. The dude's 45 and he's going on vacation during, like, preseason. Everyone's like, eh, just be here for week one, please. It must be
nice.
It's a
little weird.
I think he had a vacation booked for, like, after he retired in the offseason. I think they booked the vacation for this. And then just when he came back, he's like, yeah, I'm not canceling that.
He is to the Buccaneers what Tiger Woods is to the PGA. He can do what he wants and set his own schedule, and no one will say a word.
I mean, it's no different than Tomlinson never played in the preseason. Peterson never played in the preseason. Who cares?
No, this is not just not playing. It's like, I'm not even going to be around the team for this time. This is more than not playing.
This is extraordinary. This is also when you, like, retire. It's like his whole career is I only know how to do things one way. Just like the all in 160% at all times. Not to say he's not worthy of rest days and should be given different treatment. But this isn't that. This is weird. And the fact is, like, in a perfect world for Tom Brady, he's playing quarterback for Miami today and owning like 4% of the team. And that the Brian Flores lawsuit forced him back into Tampa because he didn't want to actually retire. And he's lost some offensive linemen. I'm going to doubt it and I'll be wrong. So we'll have fun with that.
Offensive player of the year. What would you estimate that this goes to a quarterback percentage? I would say unless a quarterback goes absolutely ham and has some sort of crazy outlier quarterback year, it'll be good enough for MVP, but they likely won't give it. It just seems to be the norm now. Like, the MVP is the quarterback award. This is the best other player award. And I think,
yeah, I'm trying to look at the history when the last time a quarterback won it. Mahomes.
Yeah, and that makes sense. Mahomes' year in 2018 was amazing. But other than that, it's been Kupp, Derrick Henry, Michael Thomas, Mahomes, Todd Gurley. So one quarterback in the past 5 years. Like, they've made that distinction now that it's probably not. And the odds reflect that at DraftKings. Debo and Jonathan Taylor are actually the co-favorites at 10-1. Kupp and Derrick Henry, 12-14. Devontae Adams, Josh Allen, both 18. Then you have Justin Jefferson, Justin Herbert, Mahomes, Nick Chubb. That seems awfully high for Nick Chubb. All at 20-1. Lamar, McCaffrey, Burrow, Rodgers, Kyler, all in the 20s. Dalvin Cook, Jamar Chase, Jalen Hurts are all in the 30s. So, Tim, where's your lean going with this? Amon Ross St. Brown, right?
My first was actually Travis Kelce at 40-1.
Interesting. I like
the
that.
Number one with a bullet option in Kansas City. We'll be asked to bear even more load than usual. I expect the Chiefs to be good. I think he could have a phenomenal season and convert in the red zone. And so I think he's a very interesting, if he has a big year, and I think he will, I think he's a very interesting play at 40-1. So I like him. I like Jamar Chase. And I know you're joking, but I kind of like Amon Ross St. Brown too. It's sort of a deep play.
Is he even listed?
He's going to have a very
100-1. Okay.
So he's going to have a very special season. So
no, he's 100-1 because the books just list like 400 people at 100-1 instead of like he should be 3,000-1.
Books are going to list it at 200.
I'm glad to see that Jeff joins the crew of people on this show who hate Amon Ross St. Brown for no reason.
Didn't say that.
Matt doesn't like him. Meanie doesn't like him. Jeff doesn't like him. None of you guys like
for
him.
For MVP, I don't like him.
We're not talking about MVP.
We're talking about Offensive Player of the Year, Jeff.
I'm not even picking him. I'm just saying, do I think there's a case there for when the Lions go 10-7 and he has a big year? Yeah, I think it's totally there, even though, like I said, I like Kelce at 40-1. But yeah, no, you're right. I should only give the most conventional opinions. And if it's anybody with any type of odds, how dare I mention them? I apologize. I will stick to the top of the board from now on. Oh, I think John Rahm could win the golf tournament this week. That's my analysis, Jeff.
I like John Rahm this week.
Maybe well, my pick. I have a big name for golf, but I'm keeping it quiet till after tee off.
Well, you have to tell me for the show.
Yeah, I'll let you know when tee off. I need to keep my cards close to the vest.
Well, I need to put it on the cheat sheet.
Yeah, I know, but if people find out, they'll just copy my guy, and then I'll lose in this competition that I'm in.
Well, you didn't even use the same pick last week that you thought you were going to use.
He had already
week.
Been exhausted. This time, I already went into the system and put in my guy.
People are going to be very upset with you that you didn't tell them.
No, well, that's too bad. That's too bad.
Lions fans, Jeff, are very upset with Tim already because Tim appears to be all in on the Lions. Bad news for my Bears bet.
I like the Lions this season. Not to do. I think they're they're a sleeper division winner and probably a wild card team.
So is your pick Kelce?
Yes, it is Travis Kelce.
So Travis Kleiss, as one of our friends says, because he can't read.
Kleiss,
so sick. Kleiss.
Yeah.
I don't know where I want to go with this because it feels like if one of the elite running backs can stay healthy, Jeff, then they have the inside track. It's just hard to stay super healthy for 17 weeks as a running back that a receiver just makes more sense to try to win this award.
I agree. I think there's also like the winds are changing in the NFL, in the landscape. That receiver is just, I mean, we just saw like what happened with the contract market for the receivers. They are now kind of being seen as in some way like way more premium and way more important to the team's success. And as we spoke about in the quarterback show, I let you guys know, I bet Justin Jefferson at 24. The 20s at DraftKings, I would still like bet. I like not my opinion doesn't change. That doesn't alter it by losing just a couple points. I think the new coaching staff, I trust Kirk Cousins. I think he is incredible in trying to get, almost double the Cooper Kupp points. But it'd be Jefferson and Tim's pivot of Jamar Chase. And I wouldn't even dispute Paul's boy and Stefon Diggs. Like, I would be playing the wide receiver market in this award heavily, but big, like a pretty nice size bet for me on Justin Jefferson. I hope the bandwagon from ADP to season, like all that draft stuff, I hope we're not wrong, because I think he's going to be dominant. And that's not a bold take either. Tim might get mad at me for not offering you guys 100-1 player, but give me Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase. That whole receiver row is who I would be, like, if I was building a 2 or 3 bet thing, it'd be all receivers, receiver only.
I think Jefferson makes them, I mean, obviously he's priced that way at 20-1 versus some of the other options that you had mentioned, but I think that he in particular stands out because all of the other offensive players on the Vikings are probably already hit their peak and are on the decline. Like, I'm not saying Adam Thielen can't have a good year, but it's very unlikely that Jefferson and Thielen have similar stats this year, where Jefferson just seems to be ascending at all times, becoming like a true top 3 receiver in the NFL. So that makes sense to me. Whereas like Diggs, and I talked about this with Seeley on the Tuesday show, it's just every other Bills player is super hype. Like, they all can't have 4,000 yards receiving. Like, it's impossible. Like, Gabe Davis can't be the greatest receiver, and then Isaiah McKenzie can't be the greatest receiver. James Cook can't catch 1,000 yards out of the backfield, and Stephon Diggs is still the offensive player of the year. Like, none of those things can immediately line up. It just can't, unless Josh Allen throws for 7,000 yards. Something's got to give in that regard, where it doesn't feel like Jefferson has it. Even with Chase can overcome it very much like Kupp did last year, but like T. Higgins is still quite good. You still have Tyler Boyd on this team that you could see more of a split from game to game, where Chase just has these big games but isn't consistent every single week. Like, it could be, hey, we're just going to double Chase. Hey, let's just go to T. Higgins instead. It doesn't feel like the Vikings have that luxury. So I like that. I mean, I'm just going to double down with what I went on the ranking show, Tim. My pick for offensive player of the year, CeeDee Lamb, 40-1. I think he leads the league. I think he leads the league in receiving, and he's the most like Jefferson of these receivers, where he really has no competition for this stuff.
So I'll just, Tim can go on a long rant. If I were to name one more like name on that receiver row, he would be in on it. From an odds perspective, absolutely, Pat. I love that. I just worry that, like, I get that Dak would get the hype for the dominant receiver season, but I totally agree. Totally agree.
I don't have much to say other than if CeeDee Lamb has a good enough season to be competitive for offensive player of the year, then Dak might just win MVP and offensive player of the year.
See, I don't think so, because let's say Dak throws for 4,200 yards. There's a chance that Lamb has like 1,800 of them.
I mean, it's possible, sure. I mean, I just continue to be dubious.
The other one that I think is actually a good value based on where these other guys are going, and look, if you just look back in history of the offensive player of the year award, at least the recent history of it, it's essentially who was the best fantasy player at a skill position. And if we think that McCaffrey is the best skill position player, if he just doesn't get hurt, and that's why, you know, I'm drafting him number one overall, other people are drafting him number one overall, if he just plays 17 games, he shouldn't be 2.5 times the odds of Henry or Taylor.
I agree with that. And I think if he does stay healthy, people will reward him for that fact too. I think you make a good point there.
Unless they just go ahead.
You're telling me like it wouldn't be crazy for me to shop the market to look for 80-1 Ecklers or what?
Oh, Lord.
I mean, there's 50-1 Eckler right now. That's a joke. I mean, I don't think it's crazy. It just, it feels like his role will be scaled back. You still have Mike Williams. You still have Keenan Allen.
I agree. It will be scaled back. And he won't play enough. Like, either they'll give him rest games or he'll get.
No, not Mike Williams. Not Mike Williams. He's not going to steal catches.
Friends,
not Mike Williams.
Friends, if you're like this guy that believes the curse is so real, I will tell you there's not a player you want to own more in fantasy this year than Mike Williams. Take all your preconceived notions and throw them out the window. Tim is, since like the day after the season, Tim has just been on some hate campaign unprompted. I'm not even some Mike Williams super fan, but Mike Williams to the moon on the just Tim's just constant hate will give him superpowers to stay healthy and be really good. There it is.
You're delusional.
You hate him more than anyone, it seems.
Just don't think that he's one of the most, if not the most, overplayed player in the NFL.
In 8 months, his contract's going to be below market value.
You're right. He is the best receiver I have ever seen.
Didn't say that. But yeah. If you got cap room and you've got a need at receiver,
you got to spend it on Mike Williams.
No, you just don't let
like
them
that
walk.
Doesn't come around very
like
often.
You just pay them.
Yeah, I guess you can't let both him walk and then Derwin walk the next year. So you got to pick which one to walk. So I guess they let him walk.
Every time you've done this year, like I've gained more power. Like the team has done things that they never do. You went on some like rampage to start football content, and 2 days later they trade for Khalil Mack, something they've never done. Whether you like Mack or not, is use a high leverage draft pick to bring in a star. They were more aggressive in free agency than they've ever been. Like a day after you insult them, they signed a bunch of good players. So every time you do something, I get powerful that they're. When James contract's happening 36 hours, thanks to you. If it doesn't, I'm going to start to get a little worried, to be honest.
Lamb for me, Jefferson for Jeff, Kelsey for Tim. Give me some money. Give me some money. When PXG says nobody makes golf clubs the way that they do, they're not lying. The PXG clubs I now have are absolutely incredible. So when I heard about their new Black Ops driver, the driver that promises you don't have to sacrifice distance for forgiveness, I had to try it because they call me the sandwich on the tee box. I got an awful lot of slice, and I've spent the past 3 years trying to work that out of my game. So I had one driver, then I had another driver, and then I went to a swing coach. I'm still going to my swing coach. And I went to a PXG location for a fitting and got my Black Ops driver, perfectly tailored to me. But here's the sneaky thing. When you're average height like Pat Mayo, not a whole lot of fitting you need to do. Clubs are made for you, but if you're taller, if you're shorter, you need to go to a PXG location to make sure that it's perfect for you to get that Black Ops driver with the breakthrough in driver technology. Because let's face it, we're not the guys that we're betting on all season long. We have some struggles when it comes to the game of golf, but we do want to get better. Like, I'm actively trying to get better. I took myself down from a 20 handicap to a 10 handicap, and I'm really hoping that without losing a bunch of balls and adding distance, adding accuracy this year, that I can get into that single digits. Maybe even try to challenge like breaking 75 this year. I broke 80 last year, hoping to break 75 at least once this year. And I do think with my new PXG Black Ops driver that I might be able to accomplish that. It's at least given me the best chance that I have. It has more forgiveness, more distance without sacrificing anything. Game changer has been thrown around so much it's really lost meaning. But trust me when I tell you, the PXG driver is a true game changer. You'll be as impressed with it as I am. So learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/mayo. And use code Mayo at checkout. That's pxg.com/mayo, code Mayo, for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/mayo, code Mayo.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Defensive Player of the Year, TJ Watt is the defending winner, or the reigning winner, of the Defensive Player of the Year award. He's also the betting favorite at 7-1, tied with Myles Garrett, Aaron Donald, three-time winner, plus 750. Micah Parsons is 10-1. The Bosa Bros, 15 and 20-1. Chase Young is 20-1. Max Crosby is 28-1. Khalil Mack, Darius Leonard, Daniel Hunter, Von Miller, and Bradley Chubb, all 30-1. And your boy, a lot of Chargers up here. I will give Tim some credit on this one. How can the Chargers have like four guys inside the like top 20 of Defensive Player of the Year and their defense won't be any good?
No, they're gonna be good.
Oh yeah, sure, they're always good.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's a real talented defensive core that always plays every snap.
Tim insults them, but he couldn't name anybody. Like, name two defensive linemen on the Chargers.
Why do we have to play this game? Honestly, I'm not here to perform like that. That defense was poor last year.
No, but they've made some really good signings. You wouldn't even know who they are.
We just talked about Khalil Mack. I think Khalil Mack.
I'm not even talking about Khalil Mack.
I think Khalil Mack is an interesting player. But we're also talking about the top players on this board, and should they have three or four guys in the top 20 of or top 15 of NFL Defensive Player of the Year? That's ludicrous.
It means the ceiling is coming and we're gonna fucking break it down.
Where are Morgan Fox's odds? I don't even see them.
Thank you. Morgan Fox, Sebastian Joseph Day, Austin Johnson.
Oh,
Bryce
yes. Austin.
Callahan.
I forgot about Austin Johnson. Yes. Austin Johnson and the great Jerry Tillery. Right. Those two guys.
Jerry Tillery might not even make the goddamn team. He's a sieve. And that just shows the depth that they've actually brought in there. Is they could tell a guy like that, hit the freaking road, pal.
The only player on your defense that I legit love and continue to love is Asante Samuel Jr. I loved him last year.
You don't even know who Sebastian Joseph Day is. He's going to be a bigger impact than Khalil Mack and J.C. Jackson.
You think so?
You're going to – by week four, you'll be whispering to somebody – I swear I've heard that name before. Where did I hear it? This guy's great.
Guy with three whole sacks last year?
He was injured.
Oh, shocking. Shocking.
Wasn't on the
shocking.
Chargers. Wasn't yeah. on the Chargers.
Yeah, shocking. Yeah, okay.
I want to know something. I had Kyle Soppy look up injuries and starter game miss charts. You guys blow the Chargers out of the water. So why do you come at me with some injuries when every good player the Jets gets hurt? Every good player you draft gets hurt.
You don't think I know that? You don't think
so
that I feel that pain?
So you're not like a version of the Chargers. You're worse.
Sure. My team hasn't been to the playoffs in 10 years. I'm in a world of pain. Would I like to have gone out and gotten J.C. Jackson? Yes, I would. You know, J.C. Jackson is the best player in your defensive backfield, and it's not close. And he's not in the top 15 of defensive players of the year.
Do you know
Derwin,
why? Because he
James
plays corner.
Play.
He's a man-to-man corner, and no one throws the ball there. So he couldn't even get a stat line that'll give you that.
Yeah. You know what? The thing is, the Chargers just have an entire slew. The whole defensive Pro Bowl is just going to be Chargers on the AFC side. That's what I come away with. Just Chargers.
Sorry, what started this? Because they have good players and they're ranked
because they have a bunch
list?
Of people ranked highly on the defensive player of the year. And Pat's like... Their defense is no good. It wasn't any good last year.
No. See, the difference is now they got depth to surround the good players.
Yeah,
like
so,
now there's
so
a bit
good.
Of depth.
So which of the 26 Chargers are you picking for defensive player of the year, Jeff?
It would be between Derwin James would be my Charger. If you're making me pick a Charger because there's so many listed, Derwin James is the best player on the Chargers. Offense, defense, everything. Derwin James is the best football player on the Chargers. So I would pick him over Joey Bosa, over Khalil Mack. Now, if I actually have to pick this award, which is something we should talk about, feels like the narrative, the people, the voters are already want to give an award like this to Parsons. So that would be it. I don't like, what is the history of the award in like getting surprising winners? Or is the guy who wins usually a guy that would have been on the top like five thoughts
basically? I mean, a lot, this is one that you can either track by sacks or just pure dominance at a position. Like, I think the fact that Aaron Donald isn't the favorite means you should just vote on the guy who's already won three times. That's my pick,
right?
Is Aaron Donald. Like, make it easy on yourself.
Yeah, I mean, there's been one defensive back in the last 15 years, something
yeah,
like that.
Stephen Gilmore.
Yeah, Gilmore and Polamalu. Like, you just don't see defensive backs win this very often. They have to have exceptional seasons.
Well, and
usually it's pass rushers.
Yeah, and the big thing too is like the people who are considered generally to be the best corners or even shutdown guys, to Jeff's point, like no one throws at them. They just throw somewhere else, so they don't have any stats.
Yeah, so then you just have to ask yourself, who do you think will have a big year defensively? Like, and but then story matters too. If you like narrative stories and pass rushing, well, then like Max Crosby makes a lot of sense. Or Danielle Hunter, it makes a lot of sense. Or any, look, you can pick TJ Watt or Garrett or Donald. I don't care sort of who you pick. There's good cases for all of them. I'm going to pick, just because I'm spiteful, perhaps, I'm going to pick Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa?
Spiteful towards what?
I just think that's what I'll be accused of for picking Nick Bosa.
No, you think I'll pick that?
Yes, you will. Yeah, you would be. Yeah, I'll pick Nick Bosa.
No, but you're picking Nick Bosa in some way, thinking you're insulting me.
No,
really,
I think
funny.
That you. I think that you think that you'll. That you think that I think I'm insulting you.
No, you literally said it.
Nick Bosa had 15 and a half sacks last year. That was good for fourth in the NFL. And
I think that's a great pick.
But here's the thing. Here's why Aaron Donald I mean, I think that he should be the favorite every single time, because if you ask any NFL person, any NFL viewer, anyone who pays attention to the NFL, say, who is the best player who's not a quarterback in the NFL? The answer is instantly Aaron Donald.
But don't you worry. Like, the only concern about betting Aaron Donald is that it becomes this, like, MJ effect where, you know, Carl Malone, David
Robinson. See, if this was for MVP, I could see that. But no one really cares about Defensive Player of the Year. That this is a generational player. Let's just give him as many as he deserves.
Yeah, I know. But if you get this cowboy running around like a madman doing everything, we already recognize Aaron Donald's like the greatest defensive player ever. He doesn't. I agree with you. I'm just saying sometimes that, like, level of talent sometimes works against players at a certain point.
It does.
And Donald,
I don't
might
think
be flirting or have passed that point, weirdly enough. I do agree. Best in the league. Have anybody? There's not even a debate. There's not even a debate. He's the best.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it matters for this award in particular. I don't think there is voter fatigue for defensive NFL player of the year. If I was going to go longer, I would go with Rashawn Gary at 35-1. I just feel like I think Green Bay's
Mr. Gary.
I think that Green Bay's defense is going to be really good. I think that's really going to be the strength of their team this season, and they get to beat up on. I mean, the Vikings somewhat improved their offensive line. It's not great. The Lions isn't. I mean, I know they keep drafting offensive linemen. Wait till they can protect. And Gary might pile up like 15 sacks in two games against the Bears. So he could. He has the teams to pad his numbers pretty easily. You're all right there, Shakes?
No, I just don't think Tim has any idea what actually went on with the Chargers defense this offseason. Other than
Jeff, break me down Washington's defense then.
Yeah, word for word.
Dominant pass rush that wasn't there at all last year. Jonathan Allen is probably in the top 10 of this list. They're going to get Chase Young back, who I might be considering for comeback player of the year. I don't know. Was their defense bad?
But what I'm saying is that, of course, you're going to know the defensive scheme and players on the Chargers
that's far more than
what Cust is, or even me.
Yeah, I know what kind of three tight tackle that Drew Tranquil is using on a weekly basis.
No, that's not my point. My point
on Chargers defense.
The Chargers signed like seven guys, but only two of them like caught attention. The concern was always a level of depth behind the front end players.
Well, mercifully, we have 15 or 17 weeks for you to elucidate to us week after week.
It'll just happen. But also to the point of corners, that guy like Trayvon Diggs had all those interceptions last year, and it was almost like, yeah, because people don't even think you're good. They like trying to pick on you.
It was like the old – I mean, he is good, but it's like the old Antonio Cromartie effect where it was the same thing. It's like – they know that, I mean, if you have a ball hawking, I mean, Ed Reed is kind of like the anti-example of this because he was so good. But a lot of these corners that you see with a lot of interceptions, they're willing to gamble on the pick. The quarterbacks aren't afraid to try to take advantage of that at the same time and see if they, you know, bite on something and they absolutely burn them. But that just keeps the ball going in their direction. So I agree with you. I don't think you'll see a player like that win MVP or win Defensive Player of the Year. It would just have to be such a confluence of circumstances where you have a guy that doesn't see the ball very often, but at the same time still ends up with like five or six interceptions, something like that. That's like the path for a DB, like Jaire Alexander. I wanted to mention someone from the Packers, but I feel like Gary is make such an easier case than Alexander does. Who is your pick, though, Jeff?
I guess I'm gonna pick Parsons, but I don't love it. I'm also tempted with Max Crosby, but I'm picking Parsons.
So Donald Parsons and Nick Bosa, offensive rookie of the year. The favorites for the award are Breece Hall, your boy.
Breece Holmes.
Yeah, Breece Holmes is 8-1. Kenny Pickett's 8-1. He's probably not even starting to begin the year. That might not matter. George Pickens is 10-1. Chris Olave's 10-1. Traylon Burks is 10-1. Sky Moore's 10-1. Drake London, Ken Walker, Jalen Tolbert, Garrett Wilson, Christian Watson, who just got activated off the PUP list. Damien, I think for me, if I'm just going based on value on this board, I think Dameon Pierce at 18-1, considering he could be the Texans' opening day running back and just end up with like 1,400 yards on a bad team. This award does not matter if your team is good or bad. It's just stats. And I think that Dameon Pierce could have a huge year at 18-1, just whether or not he's good. Sort of, who was the random jabroni who won for the 76ers that year? Three names. It turned out he was terrible.
Don't know.
Michael, not Michael Carter Williams. Is that his name? Michael Carter Williams?
I don't know.
Help me out here, Jeff. Is that his name?
You asked me about basketball.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Michael Carter Williams. He won during the pure tank year. I mean, one of the pure tank years. And he was their rookie. He just put up a ton of volume. He wasn't any good, but he won rookie of the year. I could see Dameon Pierce being the exact same thing. So Pierce is going to be my pick at 18-1 for rookie of the year.
I want to pick one of the Jets.
I want to suck up to Tim a little bit.
Please. I'm all ears.
Like, I don't... It's just so tough. You just see the receivers come in now, and there's always a receiver or two. There's so many that get drafted, and they don't need any time. Like, there's always a handful of them that are just going to be good and contribute right away. It's a weird award this year because there's no QB even a sure time. And the, like, even Kenny Pickett at the top, that's essentially just hoping he starts like 14 games and is adequate. And he's one of the few rookies that actually of any position that presents a true stat line. Yeah, I don't know. Garrett Wilson, 14-1. I don't mind that one. I guess if you're making me make a pick in the market.
Yeah, that's where I'm leaning to. It's just, if you're watching the rookie receivers, like Wilson just seems so special. He just seems so – he does. He does seem so special. Like, I understand a lot of people love Drake London. There are people that are all about George Pickens, and I get it too. Like, they're very good players. But you watch when you watch on the screen what Garrett Wilson is doing, he's just so special.
Now, let's acknowledge you're not watching the other guys run in shorts and a T-shirt like on internet clips 40 times a day.
So I'm basically doing exactly the same thing that you tried to defend yourself from doing in the last set. You're
which
right.
Was?
Watching my guys and getting very excited about what
I was talking about the roster. But yeah, that's fair. I'm just saying, like, you're making these comments about what you're seeing in camp. You haven't watched 20 Chris Olave running in shorts and a T-shirt catching balls versus no defender clips.
Guilty as charged.
And you're referencing this amazing looking player pretty much based on like these shorts and T-shirt routes.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, guilty as charged. But like,
and I picked the same guy as you.
And, you know, someone whose opinions I trust more than mine, you know, Chris Meany talked about it too. We were talking about on the golf course. He's like, Garrett Wilson seems like, between him and Elijah Moore, who would you rather have? And he wanted Wilson, and I said Wilson. He thinks too that
I hear
Garrett Wilson
people who
is
golf
it.
With you just suck up to you because you've been playing so bad, so they make you feel good.
Well, I hope that's not true. So I bought this too with Jeff because Phil won the PGA Championship with it, and I only bought it so I can like move the ball from left to right and right to left with it with more forgiveness than my regular driver, because I thought that was part of my problem. Stop laughing at me. But if people, I hope that people aren't doing it just to keep me together. Like, this has been a struggle bus of a golf season for me. But I've gone through five separate drivers in the last 12 months. It's been a very difficult stretch. But I really think this two wood is quite a novelty. Like, it's exactly the gap in my game, I think, that I was missing. A club that I can hit and sort of control with more forgiveness to sort of like hit a high draw or a low fade.
You
off
can't
the tee sometimes.
Those things on demand.
Well, not on demand, but if you're going to get good
so
at golf,
how do you pull a club? Never mind.
Yeah, you get up to the tee box and you're like, okay, well, I've got to move this left to right around this around the trees like that. You just
around
have to
trees,
do it.
The trees over the water. Let me clear this. Let me take the most dangerous line because I'm going to try to shot shape, but I'm shooting 100 and I'm going to try to shot shape.
Well, if I'm going to get any good or going to get better, you've got to learn how to shot shape.
Just
the
hit
pros
the most...
are notes are just trying to hit it straight every time. They're trying to shot shape it.
Just hit it straight. Master that first.
You watch the way Phil plays. Phil's not out there just trying to hit it straight down the middle. He's trying to hit. He's trying to move it again, hold it against the wind. He's trying to draw it back. He's trying to hit it on the right tier of the green so that you've got the right putt and get some backspin. Like I'm attempting to. Anyway, I'm trying to learn the game the right way.
Okay, so Pierce is my pick, and you're taking Garrett Wilson at 14-1, Tim.
Yeah, Jeff and I are on board with Garrett Wilson. He's just, like I said, he's just an exceptional talent. Is he as good as Ja'Marr Chase? No, I don't think so. Last year's wide receiver crew, I think, was better. But Garrett Wilson is really special. And the Jets, again, he is a part of what is just an absolute bomb squad at wide receiver this year in New York.
Paul has a question from behind the camera.
Did he say he had 14 different drivers?
Five different drivers in the past year.
I don't have the headphones on completely.
Yeah, five separate drivers that I've gone
between. Did you buy all of them, or are you returning?
Some I purchased, played one round, and returned.
Oh, my God, you're that guy.
Some I played for a few rounds and then traded in for a different driver. Now I'm on this. So now I carry two drivers, but I really don't carry two drivers. I carry a driver, and I carry a two-wood. And the two-wood is sort of like for the shorter par fours, where I need a little more forgiveness, but I also so I don't need to hit it quite as far, where I can, you know, I've got it at 12.5 degrees so that I can sort of move it left to right a little easier. It's got the forgiveness, a little shorter than a driver. The head's a little smaller than your big 460cc driver. So I want to get from, I shot 90 the other day and I felt pretty good about it and I missed some putts. So I feel like this is all part of the strategy where you need to be deliberate off the tee. You don't want to hit it straight. Like, sometimes you do, obviously, but sometimes if, you know, you're at a dog leg, you want to try to hit a high draw around those trees so that you put yourself in a good position for the approach. Like, if you're going to get good at golf, that's sort of how you do it. Like, the pros just don't go try to hit it straight every time. You're trying to move the ball in the right way so that it bounces. Hey,
Matt, how many times do you hit it and it doesn't even move and you just go right into the...
Sometimes that happens. It's a... You know, I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos about how to turn your club in and turn your club out and your stances and stuff when it tries to. And, you know, anyway, it's a work in progress.
I think this attitude is the reason you're having a struggle bus season.
I agree. You are not the first person to tell him that, Jeff.
Yeah, this approach to golf is the reason you're having such a difficult summer on the course, I think.
Maybe. Now, I have turned things around the last couple of rounds, but that's due to a couple other
things. It's like Phil Mickelson strategizes his way around the course, and I'm going to bring that into my golf.
Well, it's funny because he's worried about shot shaping with the 2-wood, but he never really thinks about shot shaping it with his 7-hybrid.
No, that's true. My 7-hybrid has sort of a natural draw, so I just sort of play to that.
Stop laughing at me. The only other name that I'm going to throw out there as potential like long shot rookie of the year, it looks like Wendale Robinson's going to run all of the first team reps with the Giants. And if he's just better, if he's their leading receiver, he could just backdoor his way into like a really good statistical season without really being that awesome on a team that probably has to throw a ton. He's 50-1. I don't think he's going to win, but I think he has a more likely chance to win rookie of the year than like Jeff's guy, Isaiah Spiller, does at 45-1. Like, so
yeah, I'm not big on CJ Spiller either. I do like
CJ Spiller.
Yeah, exactly. I do like Treylon Burks, by the way. I'm not picking him, but I do like Treylon Burks.
Fourth teamer, Treylon Burks?
We'll see when that shakes out where he ends up. I think he's going to be pretty good.
I mean, I wouldn't wish upon it, but if you're betting like a Spiller, you're almost hoping Eckler gets hurt for the year in the
yes.
first month.
No, yeah, on the Chargers, that doesn't happen, I was told.
I didn't say it doesn't happen. I said it happens so much more on your team. So when you reference the Jets having an injury and saying, oh, look, we have Charger syndrome. No, it's Jet syndrome, man. That's my point. That's all the point I was trying to make. Chargers have their own injury issues, but the numbers don't lie. The Jets, doesn't matter who you sign, who you draft, you think guys on the Chargers don't play?
And they don't.
Let's move on to defensive rookie of the year. I have no real strong takes
Sauce.
On this. You know what? Sauce is, I mean, you said that Sauce, no one's ever going to throw at him. How's he going to win defensive rookie of the year?
I think that people are going to throw at him early to sort of test him. The fact that he's never given up a touchdown in college or, you know, in high school or anything. People are like, yeah, this guy thinks he's so great. They're gonna throw at him. So, and plus, you know, people will probably be down in Jets games trying to throw to come back. I could easily see them throwing at him. I don't know. He's a good pick. Obviously, if Aiden Hutchinson is everything people said he was going to be, could be him. It's a very tough award. I'd have no particular, like, sincere lean on things beyond, like, I really like Ahmad Gardner. About who the heck knows? Defensive Rookie of the Year seems like a complete shrug.
What about Kayvon Rad Thibodeaux at 5.5 to 1?
I mean, if you look at who's won it the last few years, it's been like the guys who go in the first two or three picks or very high in the draft. Like, it's not usually some outlier.
I suppose that's true. Jeff, do you have any, like, I have no real lean on this whatsoever.
I'm honestly really paranoid that the guy the Chiefs drafted, Karloftis, a defensive end, is going to be dominant, but it's a really hard award. I guess Tim would have taken my question. Like, where does history show? Like, can you just be a third rounder on defense who plays a lot of snaps and win the award? And
Parsons, Chase Young, Nick Bosa, Shaq Leonard, Lattimore, Joey Bosa, Marcus Peters,
yeah, so
Aaron
it just
Donald.
Seems like the best. Who's the best of the top 10 picks?
Yeah, Kiko Alonso was a second rounder. He won it for the Buffalo Bills. I think that's like the deepest.
Oh, remember? Then he was traded for Shady McCoy, and it turns out it turns out like Shady was actually good, and Kiko Alonso.
But like Ndamukong Suh, Aldon Smith, Luke Kuechly, all high picks. So yeah, it's a marquee sort of like Chateaubriard pick that tends to win this thing.
Well, should we just say Trayvon Walker at 8 to 1 then, since he's the first pick and he wasn't even the favorite?
Trayvon Walker, Aiden Hutchinson, Thibodeaux, any of those guys, or that would be my those three reasonable. But Gardner went fourth overall, so he fits.
What
that
about that Jets defensive end that you guys got really late?
I'm not picking him for first over to win the MVP or defensive rookie of the year. I'm not picking him.
But he could have gone sixth overall. You told me.
Yeah, but he didn't.
But he could have.
I stand by where I just I don't think so.
I guess for the purpose of this game, I'm going to have to make a pick, but this would be a straight like
fade.
No action. I don't know.
I'll take Trayvon Walker. I feel like Gardner and Stingley are in a huge hole for this award because the teams they play on, frankly, aren't all that good, or at least expected not to be that good. That teams are far more likely to run on them than have to throw on them and take chances, which would inevitably lead to interceptions. And if you're not going to have a bunch of interceptions, you're not going to win the award.
Defensive back hasn't won it since 2004 either.
Yeah. So make a pick, Jeff.
It's crazy that the third round pick of the Eagles, N'Kobe Dean, who was like just this dominant, I think, linebacker, so high on the 12-1 at DraftKings for a third round pick. I don't know. So I could seem smart, I guess. I'll say Karloftis, but I hope he's not good. I really hope he's not good, really good.
So Karloftis at 16-1?
Yeah.
All right. Comeback player of the year. Henry's 4-1, Winston's 5.5, McCaffrey's 7.5, Daniel Jones, who's coming back from what, being terrible, is 8-1, Michael Thomas is 8-1, Deshaun Watson's 10-1, Trubisky's 12, Baker's 12, Chase Young's 14, Dobbins is 14. This really feels, and Mariota's 16, Cam Akers 25. That's the range that I like Chase Young, Mariota, Cam Akers. I think McCaffrey, if McCaffrey has a good year, he wins, but he's 7.5 to 1. You can get those.
J.K. Dobbins. If he has a good year, he wins.
I don't know about that.
If he has a really good year, he wins. Yeah, I like J.K. Dobbins for this.
Okay.
So I agree with you, Pat, pretty much all offseason, although I never made the bet. And I'm really somewhat feel silly, although I didn't like it enough to actually go make it. Chase Young. And now it's at 14 or 16, sorry. I saw it as high as in the 20s. His defensive player of the year award number is 20. So 16 for comeback. Like, let's say he gets I know the NFL doesn't do it like baseball where there's like second, third place votes, but in the mind of people, if he is worthy of a second or third place, has a season vote for defensive player of the year, how would that not make him an absolute front runner to win this award? So 16-1 to win this award, I would argue makes better value sense in the Chase Young markets than 20-1 at DraftKings to win defensive player of the year award. And we all acknowledge that's something that no one would be surprised if he did. So I don't know how hard it would be for defense to win this award, because we're all just looking for a injured quarterback or someone to have some dominant fantasy situation that we goo-goo gaga over. But Chase Young, I think when you look at the whole, all the markets in totality, this number seems like it makes a lot of sense to me.
Since 2001, one defensive player, Eric Berry, has won comeback player of the year.
Done. I think I got to rescind my take here.
Okay. Well, who do you think is going to be better, Carolina or Atlanta?
Carolina. But Baker Mayfield's not coming back from anything.
He's coming back. He played all last season with like a broken collarbone.
He played the whole year. He's not coming back from anything. Like that's
the problem with this award. There's no true meaning. It can mean anything. It can be some people take it as most improved. Some people take it as guy that was injured. Some people take it as no, you had to have had like a horrific injury that cost you more than half the season. Like Derrick Henry played the majority of the year, returned in the playoffs. What is he coming back from?
Well, I think that there's a stark difference between someone like Derrick Henry, who's 4-1, and Cam Akers, who's 25-1. Because Henry was great. He got hurt, and then he came back in the playoffs, and he was Derrick Henry again. Cam Akers got hurt and from a torn Achilles and tried to come back for the playoffs, played, but he just wasn't good at all. If he came back and he was like what everyone expected Cam Akers to be at the beginning of last year, I could see him winning the award because of that. Because when the last time we saw him, he was bad.
Yeah, you got to almost make what the award is up and then decide. But there's no consistency on what the award actually is. It's a bit of a free-for-all in that respect.
I'm going to take Mariota.
I like your Baker call a lot, actually, if it is that context. Because buy low Baker is the Baker I want to buy.
I'm actually going to go with Marcus Mariota at 16-1. I think that Atlanta's going to be better than Carolina. And well, people like Mariota, and he's been a good career backup.
Second overall pick. Yeah, like chance. Like the story is there to make this.
You could
debate. I don't mind it.
You could make him, Tim, into what the Tannehill story was in Tennessee, potentially.
Potentially, not quite as much talent, but I mean, Arthur Smith did sort of do that exact sort of. It's not outlandish. I wouldn't pick it. I don't think it's outlandish.
So who's your pick, Jeff?
I thought Tim might go with Paris Campbell.
I mean, I love Paris Campbell this year. Don't get me wrong. I think he's going to have a nice season, but no, I'm not picking him.
I'm going to piggyback. After seeing someone hasn't won it since 01 on defense, I'm piggybacking Pat's pick.
Only Eric Berry in 2015. He's the only defensive player since 2001.
Was cancer, right?
I can't remember if he was coming off that serious
knee
injury.
Like, if there's a good player coming back from cancer, you smash that shit. No, like, right?
The only other one I could see, if you were going to go defense, I think Chase Young does make more sense, but it would just be if J.J. Watt comes back and has one more great year, and he's 50-1. But I'm not
doing
that.
People would like that. Like J.J. Watt. Just to, like, let him talk at the award show.
100%. So last one, I think this is the most fun one. Coach of the Year award.
I couldn't believe the odds. Couldn't believe them.
Here he goes again. That's a direct giggle.
The least competent coach in the division is favored to win the award. The guy who I think is more likely to be the first coach fired than win first coach of the year. Because with the talent that Jeff's amassed, and you know, we'll stipulate there's a lot of talent there. If this team underperforms,
I don't even know if you believe that there's talent.
No, I do think there's talent. I don't believe that this talent's going to gel, and I believe the coaching is atrocious and therefore will not succeed. So, yeah, like I think Staley was a bad hire, and I don't think he's up to the job, and I think he should go, and you would thrive with a competent coach. And you're going to be favored to win the award? That's like saying a couple years ago Mike McCarthy, when running the Packers, should have been favored to win the award.
Because of you.
Go ahead. Go ahead and bet it. I looked at the odds. They don't make any sense to me, but please.
So the Brandon Staley is the favorite at 14-1. Nathaniel Hackett and Mike McDaniel are both 16-1. Sean McDermott is 18-1, as is Nick Sirianni, Doug Peterson, Josh McDaniels, Dan Campbell, Brian Daboll. And Dan Campbell has been the most bet on coach of the year candidate so far. People are picking him off at 50, at 40, at 30. At DraftKings Sportsbook, he's now down to 18-1. Then you have Zach Taylor, Kevin O'Connell, Kyle Shanahan, Belichick, Reich, all at 20-1. Todd Bowles and Stefanski, Sean McVay, Vrabel, LeFleur, John Harbaugh are all 25. I actually think, just trying to figure, like, what would you say the stipulation for coach of the year is? It's obviously not who's the best coach of the year. It's who takes the shittiest team and makes them better, right?
Or just who? No, not always, because the Titans last year were not the worst team and went to the, and they had made the playoffs 2 years in a row. So it's not necessarily that.
That's sure. A lane. That is a lane. That's a lane to
that's
take.
That's a lane, but that, it's not the only.
But Vrabel's win last year was a variation of that lane, because they ended up with the one seed in the AFC. Like,
and they lost their stud running back. Like, they had a lot of injuries. Like,
oh, AJ yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was out a bunch of games. Like,
I think just looking at the strength of all these divisions, and we're going to do the win total show in a few weeks, but how good do you really think Dallas and Philly are? Not very?
Not very. Not very.
My pick is Ron Rivera, 28-1, to win his third Coach of the Year award. Voters like him. That's we already know that voters like voting for Ron Rivera. And, like, Washington could go 10-7 and win that division and have, like, some awesome defense, and Rivera will get all the credit.
I think the same. So I like that. I like Brian Daboll a lot, so I think the similar logic applies for him. Obviously, he doesn't quite have the track record, but I like Brian Daboll for that type of thing. If the Giants, you know, grab a wild card and a super weak NFC, because Daboll does a great job coaching, I think he's right there. Campbell has got the same argument. Despite him, I don't think, not being the greatest coach, like, it would be the same type of story. You mentioned Doug Peterson earlier.
He would have been my, if Rivera wasn't 28-1, Peterson would have been my pick at 18-1.
I am going to pick Bill Belichick, though.
Okay.
I think the Patriots are going to be really good this year. And
Belichick, coach of the year, Brady MVP.
I know it doesn't, it sounds, in a brand new high flying NFL where we have all this, these young names and young talent, it's like the old generation have one last wave at the crowd before they fade into history. And I don't know. I just get a feeling that the Patriots are being overlooked. People are going to appreciate that if the Patriots do well, I think the Patriots are going to win their division. And the people are going to pick Bill Belichick and say, you know what? He's done a phenomenal job with a team that people didn't respect talent-wise. And he hasn't won this award in quite some time. And he is such a marvelous coach. We should give him this award. He has earned it for the job that he's done. He lost J.C. Jackson. You know, he's lost all kinds of talent, yet he still manages to put out a high-quality team there. And anyway, so that's who I'm going to pick. He's 20-1. I think you should pick him well before you waste your money on somebody like Brandon Staley, who may not be coaching at Thanksgiving.
Here's the issue with Staley. Hold on. Jeff, you gotta calm your tits a little bit here, all right? If Staley is in position to win Coach of the Year award, Herbert's winning MVP, and then he's not winning. So I just don't see a scenario where Staley wins, because if the Chargers are really good, it's probably because Herbert's really good, then Herbert will just win, and they both won't win.
Yeah, they don't let real football people vote on the award, so Staley doesn't have much of a chance.
I would only fight back on that and say, like, other guys, like Josh Allen or Tom Brady, guys could be so amazing, like Herbert, but I do, I guess, agree. The Chargers do hit their ceiling. They're not going to win Coach of the Year and MVP. So I agree. The Staley 14-1 doesn't feel kosher. Truth be told, the Chargers Super Bowl line is so short as well. Chargers futures are a really hard place to invest in, because they all do feel pretty overvalued, and I can admit that. I'm not.
You're part of the reason.
I don't lack the self-awareness. I think they're a good team, but I don't think they're as good as a lot of the markets are putting them out.
Are you going to pick them to win the Super Bowl? Are you going to pick them to win the AFC? Because if you do, then you do think they're as good as the markets put them out.
Even before last year's Super Bowl, I bet them to win the Super Bowl at 25-1. Because Joey Kanish, who's a hardcore Lions fan, put 500 on the Lions to win the Super Bowl. And I'm like, if Knish can do that for the brand and he's the Lions, watch this. 500 Chargers, 25-1. People are like, you're so stupid. The Broncos are going to get Rodgers and that's going to go to 30. And I'm like, the Broncos get Rodgers and it goes to 30. I'll put another five on it. Well, that didn't happen. And the Broncos got a great quarterback. And for some reason, the Chargers Super Bowl line plummeted, which I don't really agree with, as I've said. But I own a 25, which seems fair. But last year I owned a 40 and I bragged about it. And they didn't even make the goddamn fucking playoffs. So I got my own problems. Coach of the year. I'm piggybacking my offensive player of the year. I am buying all in on this goddamn Viking situation. I am. I think Kevin O'Connell, fresh coat of paint. Be so much fun in Minnesota this year. I think people are going to really like it and be entertained. Give me Kevin O'Connell 20-1. Doesn't feel high enough. That's the bet.
I like that. I like that pick.
So E from Entourage is going to win Coach of the Year? I don't know about that.
Everyone from the McVay tree is going to be great, but Staley, I guess. Right, Tim?
I mean, if you think what you saw from last year brought you confidence, then I feel sorry for you.
So if you play the game of like improved team that ends up doing really well, so you have Doug Peterson, the Jags had 3 wins, Tim with Dable, the Giants had 4 wins. Like if they just go 9-8, he's probably gonna win. So I kind of agree with that. Matt Rhule would be a different one. I guess I didn't realize that the Falcons went 7-10 last year. It felt like they were 1-16.
Yeah, I think Arthur Smith's a darn good coach.
I don't think going 9-8 on a bad team gets it for you, but it does put you on a it's a lane. It's a lane because Sean McDermott and the Bills can go 15-2, and the award I bet him to win last year, he wins this year.
Maybe. But when Stefanski won, what was the Browns' record? They were a wild card team, right?
And he was a rookie head coach. You're right. Pete, they like the rookie head coach, as you have seen with Hackett, Dable, Peterson, O'Connell, all – not rookie and Peterson, but you know what I mean. First year head coach. And even last year, like Staley was so low on the market for some stupid. Freddie Kitchens was the goddamn favorite of this award. Tim will tell you Freddie Kitchens is my coach. I disagree, but.
No. Freddie Kitchens was even worse.
But I swear Freddie Kitchens was like top three in this award.
Well, I believe
season on the preseason show.
Well, that remember, the Browns have built the most analytically perfect team in football history. How could that team lose?
Any love for Mike McDaniel?
No, not really.
I know Tim won't.
I'm excited to see what he does, but it would be the Dolphins would have to be so good for him to win, especially offensively. That just like
they also can't have that.
Like also, like how much better is their record really gonna get? Like if they're better this year and they go 12-5, like they were 9-8 last year. Like they're supposed to be okay. Like they're not supposed to be a crappy team.
Also, to the Bierman point on the Carr MVP, I think this would be the reverse. Like you say, Herbert can't. If they're so good, Herbert would win it. Staley couldn't. If the Raiders are actually so good, I think it's more likely McDaniels would win this award, therefore Carr couldn't. I mean that, too.
Does anyone think that the Raiders are going to be good? What's this the Raiders are good type
I
thing?
I do.
The Raiders are
I thought you should have brought up your anti-Raider points to Bierman. They overachieved tenfold last year, even
they
if they are good.
Yeah, but they were good last year. They brought in a good coach. They brought in
When you say they brought in a good coach,
good
the same
mind.
Guy
good
that you railed against for years, that he was the worst coach that anyone could possibly hire.
He was bad in Denver, but his offensive mind is sharp. And they brought in the best offensive free agent anybody could bring in that was available. And it's a team with a ton of offensive talent. Like, it's an exciting, interesting, fast team. The Raiders should be a lot of fun. They're on primetime and in big spots a lot.
Sure.
The NFL, too, knows that people are going to want to watch this team.
Oh, I completely agree. Well, everything that you say about how the Jets are the preeminent AFC franchise and people really want to watch them, the answer is actually the Raiders. People love the Raiders. Like, random people I know just don't even really like football love the Raiders. Raiders gear, very popular. Not so much Jets gear, Tim.
I agree with all of that.
The Belichick point that Tim made earlier, he actually left out the most crucial point, is that if the Patriots are good, Belichick will get so much credit because all people did this offseason was make fun of the fact that it's Matt Patricia and Joe Judge as his counsel with his son. Like, they almost are insulting Belichick to, like if it wasn't Belichick and he didn't have that resume, people would be losing their minds at what is happening there. That if they are good, there's only one road of credit you can possibly give.
And they're going to be good. They were made the playoffs last year. People seem to forget that. This is a really
I'm betting
good
them to the under. We'll save
this
that for the
really,
total
This
show.
Is a really good team in the AFC.
Yeah.
Betting them to the under.
I don't know exactly how I feel about them last year, but I do kind of forget that their point differential was like plus 160 or something like that, which is kind
they
of
were
insane.
Better than their record.
But like the Raiders were the exact opposite. The Raiders were 10-7, and they were negative 65 in turn, and they won what, like every close game? And they had the super overachieving season. So even if they are really good this year, I just don't see them being better than 10-7.
Okay. Can I actually make a new offer for Coach of the Year? And I think I would rather Trump my Kevin O'Connell pick.
Is your pick? Did you just say your pick is Trump because he's not going to run in the election? He's just going to coach the Chargers after Staley's fired?
No.
Okay.
Because I do think if the Vikings are good and do what I want, people will acknowledge and be happy for Kevin O'Connell. If Trey Lance is good, it's almost like Kyle Shanahan would get the votes more than Trey Lance would get the MVP votes. And they would give Kyle Shanahan a lot of credit, Pat, twofold. A, for trading up for Trey Lance, for making that identification, they would somehow like factor that into the Zen formula and then working him into their offense and then being just as good and more explosive. Kyle Shanahan at 20, I actually am giving my vote to over Kevin O'Connell.
Okay. I think that's a very compelling point. So, Tim, my point about the Raiders is very much like the similar case that I made about the Colts with Matt Ryan from Wentz. I agree that Ryan is better than Wentz, but Ryan having a good season is basically what Wentz did last year because Wentz was just the luckiest man alive.
Sure, so the Raiders could then be better than last year but have the same record and be a wild card team again.
Sure, but that's not like if they don't improve and they're 10-7 again, Josh McDaniels isn't winning shit.
Okay, that's fair. No, I didn't pick Josh McDaniels, but
no,
you're right.
But I feel like they would have to be so good, and I think that's kind of impossible in that division with three other good teams.
Yeah, or they just have to have like a crazy fun offense, and people just like people rave about them. I don't know.
True. All right. Any final thoughts on the awards? Tim Undergust.
Tim Undergust.
That's not my name. No, I think we've covered our bases well here. Some good odds, some foolish odds, but altogether, yeah, it's good to talk about some awards.
Did you run and bet Amon-Ra St. Brown MVP, Jeff?
No, that is a bet that I haven't made yet. And Tim is now going to frame this when the guy is good. I think he's so good. I can't wait to like draft him and own him in places. Tim is going to spend the whole year framing it that, like, we said the guy sucks because we laughed at him being league MVP.
Well, see, you're already mischaracterizing the conversation we had an hour ago. So you're right. I am. We were talking about offensive player of the year.
Oh, sorry.
Paul has a question about this. Paul?
I just want – it's more of a comment. I quite enjoyed how Tim took shots at Chris Meany at the beginning of the show for not liking Amon-Ra St. Brown as much and then complimented him later on in the show. It's just like Tim, it's like when Tim like likes, you know, ADP or like when he uses different stats.
Yeah, when
like
he uses DVOA, that he's very pro DVOA when it makes the Jets look good, but very anti DVOA when it tells him like the Chargers are good.
Oh, I'm sure the DVOA would like the Chargers. I mean, nobody's played yet. Everybody's healthy. On paper, the Chargers look really good.
Yeah, whatever, Tim. As long as you know that Chris, again, was just out there, like he's been instructed, like say things nice to Tim.
That's, you know what? That's
we
got to
keep him in a positive attitude out here. Tim's been getting golf sad too much, so just glad hand him, if you don't mind.
Wow. Okay. You know, look, you're allowed to get your digs right back in. I can take it as good as I get it. That's fine. But I don't, you know what? Even knowing that somebody is just saying nice things to me for all is, I don't care. I just want to hear the nice things that will still make my day.
So you broke 100, you shot 90. Can I ask how you rewarded yourself on the way home?
No.
What happened?
There's this new Coffee Crisp Blizzard. I had to get one.
Was it good?
It was really good. I haven't gone back since.
Why are you so ashamed? Like, you stopped for a while Blizzard since
I,
on
yeah,
a
I haven't,
hot day.
I haven't had one of those in a long, I haven't had one of those in a long time. But then someone showed me that there was this new Coffee Crisp one out, so I had to go get one. It was really good.
Was it the reward you thought it would be?
It was a nice reward. You know, and people now have been asking me on Twitter all the time, oh, what are you rewarding yourself for, this or that or the other, no matter what I tweet? And, like, you can make fun of self-care all you want, but it's a habit you should get into.
I don't think that's
self-care by eating fattening foods because you did the laundry.
No, but sometimes it's like, I just go get a coffee. That's the reward.
But you were going to get a coffee anyway.
No, not necessarily.
Is getting a coffee your reward for waking up in the morning?
No, it is. All right. You know what? Fine. Go ahead. Take your shots.
All right. That will do it on the Pat Mayo Experience. Smash the like. Go check out the other shows. The three of us have already done a two-part series on the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and we'll have more win totals. We'll probably have future props. I'm planning on recording with Cam and Pizzola later on this week for early next week for the gold, silver, and bronze future bets of the NFL season, because football's almost here, people. So figure it the fuck out and join runthesims.com/mayo to get your discount. Okay? Sub to the channel. Sub to the podcast. Smash the like. Follow Jeff on Twitter at GFeinberg17, Tim at TimAnderson87, me at ThePME, because we are going full throttle. All the shows are down in the description, completely free. Check them out. Okay? I'm Pat Mayo. Thanks for watching. See you next time.
Pat Mayo Experience!